We'll unmute and I will call the meeting to order at 7:25. Thank you very much. Sorry about that. Completely slipped off my schedule.
No worries.
All right.
So
we have the call to order. Do we have any public participation? Then why don't we go on to new business, which is the presentation and discussion of Board of Selectmen's FY 2024 General Government Capital and Debt Budgets.
All right, if you'll permit it, Mr. Chairman, Jill will share our presentation on screen.
Yes, thank you, Jill.
You see it?
Yes.
We sure can.
Perfect.
So on behalf of the Board of Selectmen, it is certainly my pleasure to be here tonight and to share our budget presentation with the Board of Finance. I can tell you as we get started that the Board of Selectmen worked very hard on this budget. As some of you know, many of you attended some of our meetings and we very much appreciate that. I think it's always important when you can to understand the process and see, you know, the pains that the Board of Selectmen went through in trying to achieve a budget that, you know, garners some balance and fiscal responsibility. So again, thank you for all of that. Some of the goals that we've tried to identify in this budget package for you is, you know, to provide some additional services, to continue to provide our existing services. We're aiming to provide additional healthy gathering and recreational areas and to maintain and provide town residents employees with healthy meeting and working areas. Those are some of the goals that we will talk about and identify in this book. One of the additional things that we are trying to work on is we are in the process of hiring an employee to work some additional hours at the senior center. This individual will help to continue to provide the existing services while enhancing the senior and social services director ability to handle the residents' assistance team. We found that in this era that those social service issues require a little bit more time than they did a few years ago, and that is a service that gets provided out of that space by the same employee.
Mm-hmm.
The board has commissioned a new commission this year, which is the Veterans Commission, and their goal is aimed at providing services to the town's veterans. And just an example of one of the things that we've worked on very hard this year in providing existing services is we hard fought to get a decent contract for trash services. Now, you know, as town residents, you know, you see that you put your trash out to the curb and it disappears. But there's a lot more moving pieces to that than you might have imagined. And frankly, more than I imagined before I got into this year. You know, there's one company that picks up the trash and recycling at your home, and that gets taken somewhere to be disposed of. And we have tipping fees that we pay at that location. And then, of course, we have the transfer station that we operate, and the transfer station has a hauling company that hauls those large dumpsters from here to the place where we dispose of it, and there are tipping fees and hauling fees. So there is a lot more moving pieces to trash disposal than one might necessarily think of. But that's one of the things that we work very, very hard on. And the Board of Selectmen adopted a pretty good contract. And we did that with the assistance of the town attorney, who fortunately comes to us with a vast amount of experience in that area. Some of the things that we've worked on this year in order to get things accomplished, some new things and some ongoing issues, is we've applied for quite a few grants. We've identified some of the grants here for you that we've been successful in. We were successful in our application for a steam plant, which will provide a community septic project that will be built out here in an area that's been identified on a farm. And the primary purpose of that is to provide a septic area for town facilities that are here in the center of town. You know, our current soils up here in this area of town are really poor. You know, as we all witnessed driving by the town green, which often has standing water. We've had a community connectivity grant that was approved back in 2016 and has stagnant since then. But as some of you might have witnessed, the community connectivity trail, we did tree cutting this at the end of this winter for that project, and we are working toward being ready to construct that. And that's a piece of a multi-use path that goes between Notch Road and Town Hall. And that will connect most of our town facilities here in the center of town. We also applied for and received funding for the LoSiP grant, which is a $1.5 million grant. And that will connect the end of the connectivity trail here at the town hall. It will go across the backfield through the farm to the farm, and then from the farm all the way to the high school. So at that point, we will have connected from the fire station to the library, to the state trooper's office, to the town hall, to the farm, and then off to the high school by walking, biking, multi-use trails, which is a pretty exciting thing for us. We were successful in receiving grants from the Hartford Foundation for Giving for potable water in a library patio area. Some grants that we have applied for recently, we've applied for a grant for the Nathan Hale Greenway parking area off of Hawk River Road. We've applied for a trip grant off for the Wyman Road Bridge. And I'm sad to say that we did not receive that grant. I just received notification a couple of days ago. We've applied for a neglected cemeteries grant to assist in getting some of the work done at the cemeteries. And then we've applied for four grants under congressional direct spending. One is a master plan for the fire department, upgrades to the Herrick Park soccer fields, Bolton High School athletic fields and track, and a water line from Manchester into Bolton Business District, up into the Notch. This CDS meaning congressional directed spending.
Earmarks. And I'm sorry, the CDS grant that was approved or was still waiting?
We just submitted that. Okay. I submitted the last one at Sunday. Yes.
You said we didn't qualify for the Lyman Road Bridge
that's
grant,
correct.
But that's something we can reapply for.
So we can reapply for it. So that particular grant fell under a rural town designation, and there were eight towns in the Capital Region Council of Governments district that could apply. Seven towns applied for grants, and all of the grants were scored on a rubric. We were ranked number six. They only had funding for the first four highly ranked projects. So there has been some discussion, and we don't have an answer yet. The grants that were applied for this year and did not win may automatically move up to the top of the list in next year's funding, but we don't know that yet. But there are other the reason the Board of Selectmen chose to do it under the TRIP grant rather than a local and federal bridge project is under the TRIP grant, it's a 20% match. Under the local and federal bridge grant, it's a 50% match, which, you know, when you're talking about the better part of $1 million is not insignificant. So that, does that answer that question?
Yes, for you? Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
When you say master plan for the fire department, is that the strategic plan the board is
like? Strategic plan, yep, absolutely. We've been using those terms interchangeably.
Okay.
And the CDS thing, a little more explanation on that. So that's money that, that's state money that we're applying for?
Well, it's federal money.
Okay.
And the our representatives at the federal government have the opportunity to have 15 projects apiece approved in the fiscal year. And so we've applied to Senator Murphy and Senator Blumenthal. We intended to apply to Joe Courtney's office as well, but his grant period closed before we had an opportunity to apply. His grant period closed a week before the others. So we were not able to get those grants into him. This is the first time that we know of that Bolton has applied for these grants. Certainly the first time for me. I've taken great notes, I've got files. If we don't have success this year, we certainly have the opportunity to apply again next year. Mm-hmm. And whatever we learn from this year will just make our applications better for next year.
Can I see? So the CDS is like it was gone for a while and they brought it back when Biden took, like the legislature brought it back. So it's not a guarantee that it'll be available. Right. Like the legislature has to approve it, or Congress has to approve it rather, but hopefully it'll be there.
We've been told it'll be around again next year.
Hopefully.
I think that that's probably right, but We don't know for sure.
That's good.
Jim, do we know the average of these grants that, because it's a hefty ask.
There are some outliers, but typically based on the guidelines that I read through in applying for the grants, the typical ask is not more than $2.5
million. Okay.
Well, that's not much. And two of our projects are right in that ballpark.
Okay. Which department did we apply under?
They fall under this department.
Oh, well, okay.
And the other thing that we did do also this year was to refurbish the classrooms at Notch Road Municipal Center that we are using now for meeting rooms, and those are rooms A and B. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to be there and utilize those rooms, but we feel like our team did a pretty good job, and you know, we're moving toward it's somewhat accessible. It's not 100% accessible, and we are trying to make inroads to make it more and more accessible as we move forward. Next page, Jill. And these are the changes that we have for our grant list. We have an increase of 0.48% in real estate. Increase to 7.73% on personal property and 5.65% on motor vehicle for a total of 1.34% increase. But you should understand that this is before any Board of Assessment appeals adjustments that are made. So here is our budget in a nutshell. That we have a 5.31% increase in the town's budget, which is a dollar value of $341,290. In the capital budget, we have a 27.59% increase, which is a dollar value of $492,380. I'm sorry, an increase of $128,090. $492,380 is funded by tax. And debt costs $1,426,168, which is a 4.42% increase, or $60,317.
Okay. Could you clarify for me what that $100,000 potential funding?
So one of the things that the Board of Selectmen are working on, right? And I will tell you, you know, this capital budget was hard fought.
Mm-hmm.
We started much higher than this, talking about the things that we needed, and the Board of Selectmen have an idea that they would like to put before the taxpayers at a town meeting. We took in about $114,000 in revenue from the state that was unanticipated this year.
And unencumbered.
And unencumbered for other things. And what we have done in this year's capital budget is we've put a line item in it that we would like to fund at $100,000 for matching funds for some of these grants that we are applying for. And clearly we have had some success. And so what the thought is to have a town meeting and transfer $100,000 from the current town budget into that capital budget so that we don't have to try to fund it in next year's budget. We could actually fund it this year with revenues that we got that were unanticipated.
Which would reduce this to an increase of $28,000.
And have we confirmed that this is an eligible use of those funds?
It was unencumbered.
So it wouldn't be specifically from that pot of money. It would just be from unexpended funds for this year.
Because you got that money.
Yep.
Unanticipated, right?
I think Bob had his hand up first.
Yeah, of course, I'm looking at ways to find a way to reduce numbers all the time.
Right.
And of course, my question was going to be, okay, when I'm looking at the revised grant list, even, without the impact of any appeals, we're at 468, then I was looking at this and saying, oh, that's quite a bit more. So, okay. But I thank you for the information.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
I'm always looking at it in terms of talking points when we start talking about the budget process. And being part of this conversation is that this is spending a little money more or now to save a lot of money later on that can make some really nice town improvements. Otherwise, we're just going to start missing the boats because they want these matches mm-hmm. and we're just going to be missing out. So
and
I'm just
going to put that forward as opposed to mm-hmm. always reaching.
Reaching and reaching for more.
Creating a new line item, mm-hmm. which is something they haven't had.
Yeah.
And I was like, in terms of communication, I'm wondering if there's any grants that you know of that we haven't been able to go after in the last couple of years because we didn't have the match money, and maybe we can lay those out as examples. So I don't know. That's for future.
Well, I can answer part of that. Jim has just been in there a short time. In the past, we've received grants that we've had to take from funds from another budget, transfer into whatever carrier category that was to cover it. And it's stealing from Peter to give to Paul sort of situation. And we spent a lot of time with the capital mm-hmm. budget group and discussing that, and you hit the nail right on the head. The final thought was this $100,000 earns you, I can use this term, it earns you hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that is not our taxpayers' dollars mm-hmm. coming out of Pulaski. We're actually getting something back from all our income taxes that we paid.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Charlie, after having watched and listened to the Board of Selectmen going over this budget and with the capital improvements specifically and the amount of cuts that had to be made, I'm glad to see that this provision is in here just because mm-hmm. it is going to be a money saver for the community just by being what it is and what it's intended for. And I'm glad that this wasn't eliminated from the budget. Nor do I hope that it ever is at any degree, because we don't want to lose a grant or the availability of a grant just because we don't have the matching funds. And this is going to solve that no matter what we try to do.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
Then we have a nice little pie chart here for you that talks about how the funding is allocated. Obviously, the biggest chunk of this is with salaries at 37.77% of our budget, and 15.81% is benefits. 10.09% is purchase professional services. And then we have 11.37% in property services, 5.46% in shared services, 3.9% in other purchase services, 8.2% in supplies, 6.24% in capital assets, and 0.42% in dues and fees, and 0.74% in transfer out. And if there's questions on those categories, we'll probably have Jill answer them because she knows the technical stuff better than I do on that.
Yeah, I would just appreciate some explanation of what, you know, what these professional and purchase services are.
Jill, so you want to take
that? The professional and purchase services are services, those are the maintenance contracts that we have for the OpenGov, which would be the building and land use, and also the Selectman's Office uses that for the collection of some recycling fees. That's our online service too, for people can pay online for services, including dog licenses. So that's what the purchase property service is for, maintenance for all the different computer programs and things that we have like that. And for the assessor, the tax collector, the town clerk.
What was the other category, Ross?
No, it was the all those three, the shared services in there, other purchase services. Because I can imagine things that I just want to make sure I know what they really are.
So the shared services, we have that's with we have our what's the one that Carrie uses, Jim? Carrie uses for health district. And those are the type of things that we share with other communities. We have something in recycling. We have dog catcher. Animal control officer. All those services that we share with other towns that we're a part of. That's what the shared services. We also have, we pay like $250 with Coventry because I think it's a piece of equipment we share with them, right, Jim?
Yeah.
So
I'm just saying, so there's shared services with other towns. They're not shared, say, for example, between the Board of Selectmen and Board of Education.
No. The resident state trooper is also in that shared services category. That type of thing.
All right. And then the last one, what is the type that other purchased services?
Purchase, that's like services that we would purchase for that things that are outplaced, such as repairing of certain parts of the building, lock service, furnace. They come in and do furnace repairs, those type of things that aren't done within in house.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions on the pie chart? Thank you. Thank you, Jill. Next slide, please. So we've identified for you in the, we're calling out the top five budget increases. The highway department is just under $65,000 in. Most of that is attributed to the cost of materials. You know, pavement is up, salt is up, sand is up. All of the things that we purchased are certainly subject to the cost increases that we're seeing everywhere today, Charlie.
Yeah, it's not new materials. It's the same basic material.
It's the same material.
At an additional cost above what it was last year.
But this is the funding we need just to keep services flat.
Okay.
This is not, you know, an enhanced service from the highway department. So it's essentially purchasing the same services that we were given in the last year and the year before. That additional increase is just shy of 65.
Is that true for all of the items on here on this page?
It largely is, yes.
Then it might be good to call that out specifically, that these are just to preserve current service levels.
Yep. It absolutely is. We have no enhanced services in this. I think the only one that you could say maybe in enhancement and services is the shared assessor position, which is $29,859, but that is a position that we currently have. You know, we've gone from a very, very part-time assessor to a full-time assessor that is shared between two towns. The cost of that service, and we feel like that we are getting certainly our money's worth. The public has more access to the assessor. We think that a more thorough job is being done in the department. It's a very valuable service for the town. Yes.
Now, is that 29,859, is that a net increase after taking the revenue from Wellington into consideration?
Yes.
Okay.
Another week has gone by. Any further update on the cost of health insurances?
We have not gotten new information.
Thank you.
And I checked my email just before I come out here, which is normally how we receive those updates. Yes, ma'am.
Then the transfer out, is that an increase of 50,000 or is that just moving money out of other, like how much of that was just moved out of other accounts into this new account and how much of it is new?
Some of it has been removed from the administration, but it's not new, right? Okay. So typically what we do every year is we look at leftover funding toward the end of the year, and we have typically made, you know, $50,000 to $60,000 of transfers out of other areas of the budget into the separation fund. What we are trying to do is to identify that money is budgeted every year to meet those financial commitments. And for those who may not know, the separation fund exists to meet our financial obligations when somebody retires or otherwise separates employment from the town of Bolton. That may be vacation payouts, it may be sick time payouts or things of that nature. But there is a liability there that we need to fund. Yes, Charlie.
Yeah, and currently we don't do it with a separation fund set up. We actually take Rob Peter to PayPal when that kind of occurrence happens right now.
No, we have a separation fund created already. We don't do that. But it's just not enough to cover the liability. We still have a liability above and beyond.
Okay. We haven't had a separate line item in the budget that says separation fund. And that's really what the change is we are calling it out in the budget, you know, for transparency purposes and frankly for budgeting purposes. It's a lot easier to actually budget for it rather than transfer from other places into it.
And we do have a lot of senior staff. And not age, but been with us a long time. It's a good thing that we retain people, but when it comes time for them to retire, it can be a substantial payout.
So basically what you're saying with this line then is that you're going to specifically earmark a budget line item of $50,000 that will go into that separation fund. Right. As opposed to going to the various departments who may have a little surplus here and there and yanking it out. This
Correct.
Is, like you said, just makes it that much cleaner and more obvious.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So is this $50,000 inclusive of the money we already have in the separation fund, or is this an addition to it?
No, this is money that we would move into the into that fund. It is currently... I think if my memory serves me correct, it currently has about $180,000 in it.
So it would go up to two.
No, it's got 130. Sorry.
It's about
130.
So it'll go up to 180.
No, because we have a retirement coming. So it's
correct.
Going to go down.
Got it. Correct. Got it.
We have a retirement coming April 10th. So
it's not going to really happen, is it?
Really?
is it really going to happen?
Yeah. Really? If we have
the
letter?
I have the letter and the Board of Selectmen accepted the retirement letter. So it's really happening. For those who might be wondering, Mr. Dimmick, after 47 years of service to the town of Bolton, is retired. So...
Yeah, just quickly, and this is, you know, for the board, I think it would serve us well to earmark this particular item now for, again, communications
yes.
going
yes.
forward. and have it pretty clear. Right. Because this goes back to when they think we're, oh, you're padding, you can cut here and there. And if the line item is there, it makes it so much easier to speak mm-hmm. to. So yeah. That one, let's earmark that one.
We have some older staff, so if we use the word liability, perhaps that
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jill, would you have any sense, like on average, how much each separation costs us?
We do have a liability that is created at the end of every year on June 30th, and it's over $300,000 that we're not even close to.
Okay.
Yep. So we're just trying to get to a point where we feel more comfortable with that liability and what we have in that account. But that's only if it all happened at one time, obviously. But yes, we do at the end of every year, we know what the liability would be at June 30th if everybody were to leave. That are eligible for those benefits.
So then the average per year liability is about 300,000 is what you're saying. Correct.
Correct. That's it's the liability that's on the books at the end of the year. But again, that's if everybody left at the same time. And that the likelihood is very low.
So that end, if we're trying to get our account up to roughly 180 or whatever it is after Mr. Dimmick leaves,
it's not
do
just.
We need go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry, Amanda.
I was just gonna say, do we need a cushion that is half of our? I mean, there's no way half of our people are gonna leave in 1 year, right? So is that too much of a cushion?
Well, the problem being is that the way that the ordinance is written, anybody who separates from the town gets paid out of this account. It's not the way that it's written. It's not just retirees. So anybody who leaves, if they have money coming to them, comes from this account. So it's hard to say.
So it's retirement, it's voluntary, involuntary separations, retirements, and so forth. It's any type of, I leave the town and I have unspent vacation, sick time, or whatever.
I guess I just don't have a sense of what the annual turnover is. So I'm struggling to understand like the dollar value behind it.
So the normal turnover with people, you know, who've only been here a short period of time, might have a little bit of vacation time on the books, and are just taking a new job for some reason, that liability is not extraordinary.
Right.
But there is a small number of people who have been here for a number of years, and the payouts for those individuals can get fairly hefty. Because up to a certain point, employees were eligible to be paid out for 50% of accrued sick time up to 2,000 hours. And then, you know, whatever vacation time they have in the books.
Wow. Okay.
And so that, you know, that is not a practice that continues today.
Okay.
You know, so that kind of is, you know, that's a sunsetted issue. But we still have the liability of those employees who have been with us for a while that have that benefit.
That's helpful. Thank you.
All right, Jill, I think we're ready to talk about decreases. So we're happy to say that our police protection budget is down just a little over $19,000 this year. Because the state has taken on a higher percentage of the fringe benefit rate for the resident troopers. So we're excited about that. The administration budget is down $7,756, largely because we are putting the separation fund in a different location. Emergency management budget has a reduction of $3,693 based on a change in personnel. And our contract with Eastern Highlands Health District is down $469 based on a change in our per capita cost in this upcoming fiscal year. This This shows our bond debt outlook. If you'd like, I'll turn this page over to Jill if she wants to give you a brief explanation.
Now, does anybody have questions? This is just the outlook to the end of the, we have the three bonds. One was a refunding, one was an issuance, and then we had another refunding in 2021. And these are just the where they are falling off of our debt, if you will, as we go along. I don't know if anybody has any questions. I guess it's self-explanatory.
So if I...
Charlie?
Yes. When I look at that, I see it's a substantial number. Is this something that's paid out annually, monthly, yearly? How is it paid out?
So we pay four times a year. We pay out in certain times of the year, we'll pay out debt and interest. And there's four times that we pay debt and interest throughout the year. But usually our first payment in August is our largest payment at $750,000 every August. And then we pay again in November, February, and May. And those are the fiscal year, how much we pay in the fiscal years. That includes interest and the debt.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
I was just going to ask, what do we mean by refunding? It's probably just a term.
It's what you and I would know as is refinancing. They call it refunding.
Got it.
Yeah, in bonding, they call it refunding instead of refinancing.
That's great. Silly.
Which drives some people crazy.
Yeah,
boy. You're saying it drives me crazy?
Absolutely.
I want to make sure you didn't have a question.
No.
And then on the next page, we go into the debt costs.
Sorry, it will not move. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get it to move.
You'll make it happen.
I know. Jesus. Maybe not. It won't go.
We'll start talking about it and hopefully catch up to us. So our debt costs include loan note bond expenses of $75,000, temporary loans of $250,000, outstanding short-term interest of $30, bond and note payment of $689,655, long-term debt interest of $221,513, and Bolton Lakes Regional Water Pollution Control Authority of $190,000 for a total of $1,426,198. And I see Jill managed to catch up with
us. Sorry.
It's okay.
No.
Any questions on any of these? Yes, Charlie.
I had to be asking so many questions.
No, I think.
Going with the Bolton Lake Regional Water Pollution Control Authority, that's 190,000 new or just? No.
That's the debt.
That's the debt for
the town's portion of the debt.
Okay, but it's
and
not
a level payment.
Yeah, okay, it's a level payment, so it's actually
right.
No change.
And that's
that
no change.
That one will end in a few years. Yeah. So when we look at most of these, they're all no change for the most part.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yes, Bob.
So the last line there shows a total of $1,426,198. Is that supposed to represent the total debt cost for next year?
For those items that you see right there, not just debt, not bond and note interest. All of those costs right there.
But we're showing, you know, looking at the debt outlook. I think we're looking at 2024.
To the prior screen, you're adding the 75,000, the 250, the 30, and the 190.
Okay.
Can you say that again? Sorry.
The screen before the, let me go back. Yep. If I can, hold on now. I don't know if I can.
No. That's all right. We can talk about it. So if you look at your previous page,
yep,
right,
the chart.
You've got those numbers across there, mm-hmm. plus the numbers on this page make up the 1,426,198. So if you look at that column horizontally across,
mm-hmm.
and then you add the items on this page, you come up with the total that's at the bottom.
And what is the difference between these then? Because I'm looking at 2023 and I see bond debt outlook and then I see other debt costs. So what's the difference?
75, the 250, the 30, and the 190.
No, I know, but what? Why are they called? I'm just trying to understand. Like, we have debt outlook on one page and then we're adding some other costs to that on another. So
all of those are the total debt cost, but the other ones are just the bonds. The ones that we gave you to the prior page, yeah.
Okay, so this is specifically bonding on the bond debt outlook, and then you have some other debts that are associated with things other than bonds.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now we get to talk about the capital improvement plan. And we have 13 projects that are funded in fiscal year 2024. It has a total cost of $592,380. And again, our hope is to put $100,000 of that funding in with this year's budget. So the total ask for, assuming that is received and voted in favor of at a town meeting, that would leave us funding the capital improvement plan at $492,380 from tax receipts. And so the projects that we are looking to fund in this year's budget are some additional monies for reevaluation, a mower replacement for the Buildings and Grounds Department, $30,000 for the Herrick Park soccer fields, $31,000 for the natural gas infrastructure, $32,000 for town hall sedan, $42,780 for the modular office structure, $75,000 for a townwide facility study, and we do show the $100,000 in grant matches. And if you want, we can talk about the items for the school, but I do believe that the Board of Education covered those pretty well. Those are the alarm system, the HVAC assessment, the geothermal pump and control, public address system, the balance of the funding for the high school garage. And that gives us our total of $592,380.
I have a question.
Yes.
I thought the skid steer, we had to pay off that $25,000. How were we able to move it out?
We bought it.
We have good news.
So we were able.
We got a grant.
So we had a selectman that had an idea. Let's look at it and see if we can find funding in this year's budget so that we don't have to fund this in next year's capital budget. We managed to hit it. Just very, very lucky and right. We were able to buy a machine with 25 hours of use on it, almost for the money that we have currently in the capital budget. So we'll be taking receipt of that machine sometime in April, and we did not have to put an additional $25,000 in the budget to purchase a brand new machine. This machine is essentially brand new. Our highway foreman and our town mechanic have been down to Mohegan Sun, where it's been used to push snow this winter, and they've looked at it. It's It's like you couldn't tell the difference between it and a brand new unit.
So they obviously there was no snow, so it really had virtually no winter.
Perfect. I like that. The other question I had is there was also cut the 20,000 from the road resurfacing. Are we going to be okay there? That's one of the items that must have been. Yeah.
It was hard, and if I may, I pushed it to cut,
mm-hmm.
and the reason is that's one of the items, probably the repetition, that it was in there because way back when, in one of our revalves, where things went upside down, we could not properly fund highway budget. The tax increase would have been too high. So we took $100,000 and put it into this with the, the mindset that as we each year, we would reduce it and transfer it into the actually highway operating budget fund.
Mm-hmm.
That 20,000 is what's left of that 100,000 that we originally put in there. And we talked about it as to, will we be able to provide the same service as we did before? 20,000 in that town budget, it's rather small,
mm-hmm.
and it's a little gamble that we don't have a wicked winter. But if we don't, we should be okay.
Because I remember our conversation when we discussed
yeah.
All right.
Repetitive, but that's why. And when you get down to it, it's a hard choice. And we had the same discussion. Some of the board members wanted to keep it, some didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I was a pusher on this. But say it's time to cut the cord. There's never a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But just do it, and we'll have to work it out.
And I think it's a good thing to be repetitive about it, because then it gets in the public record as part of the discussion and folks get to know that this wasn't, what was the reasoning that went, behind all this.
Right.
So I think the more we talk about some of these things, and sometimes if we know, I bring some of this stuff up just because I know there's people out there who might be asking the question or not knowing what we're talking about. Yeah.
I'd like to say a very special thank you to Jill and Jim and others as my folks on my board. We took it very seriously when Kristen brought up a year ago about being able to sell a budget, talking points, giving a very clear explanation of items. We hope that this helps for you all as you bring this budget forward. Many of you sat through a number of our budget meetings online and know that we cut almost $200,000 from what we started with, trying to bring the budget down before we gave it to you. So I think that's an important piece for tonight to share with you guys, and that we listen to what you have to say. We're very sensitive when you bring up ideas and try to.
And again, I want to thank you too, because Jill and Jim reached out to me beforehand for what was it that we would find useful as the Board of Finance to help us better understand more simply, what the budget was, which would in turn help us just, work with you folks to sell the budget. So again, thank you too.
Very welcome.
And the only thing I was thinking is, might it not be good, because I noticed that Kristen Hecht had done this, would it not be good to put in what your cuts were? That this is like your second time, because I know she did that with the Board of Education budget. She's went through, here's our first round, and then here's our second round of what we took out.
Mm-hmm.
And then she also had, I'm just thinking too, of what you might lose if you make certain amounts of cuts, beyond this. Because I think that's very good. It makes it real to people about, what it is that you could potentially lose. Here's the list that this is what you're going to lose if we do this. Is this what you really want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a way of getting ahead of it versus.
Yeah. Because right now, it's the way we've been doing this in the past. And I like the way we're going now has been, okay, we're going to cut this sort of arbitrary here, arbitrary there, whether it's 30, 70 or whatever, you know, percentage we use. And then after the fact, people find out what they lost.
Yeah,
so this
is surprised. Yeah.
This way, I think it will help them with not being surprised about it, that, you know, this is some of the stuff that'll come off. We don't know exactly which ones, but depending on, you know, how many times you want us to come back, you know, with a budget and how much we take off, this is what you're giving up. So that's what I would just ask. I know it's more work, but I think it would help with that transparency too, if we did that.
But I do think, you know, Bob's wording there is that, was it a gamble? Yes. And if we can start looking at some of these line items where we had to reduce or take out, and, you know, that's where we are now. We're already looking, it was already taken into account. We're already gambling with some things.
Yeah, we need to make that clear.
Yeah, though. I agree.
That this is what we already took out. And if you ask for, you know, further reductions, there's some other hurt that's going to happen. And again, it's not to make more work for you. It's just to make it easier to explain this to people.
Sure. Bob, I know that earlier we looked at additional need for money due to increase of salt and sand and other materials necessary for a highway and specifically snow removal. I know that the Board of Selectmen had reduced the highway budget as a consequence of looking at recent past winters, which allowed you guys to make a cut or a reduction in that area, which obviously was very helpful. How close did we come? All right, you know, we still have some more time to go, of course.
While they're looking at that number, let me just share that, you know, how little snow we had, but, you know, the ice storms and storms that we did have were weekends. And so we have
overtime.
We didn't have a Monday through Friday situation. It seemed like every other weekend.
Yeah, because they still get the plows out to get the branches and stuff off the roads, too.
We did use that for quite a bit of wind damage. So
it's not the amount of snow.
Just a little bit of information. Those the last two payrolls cost us over $30,000 in overtime between the highway and the building and grounds. Just those last two payrolls. So, and it doesn't matter if it's snow or it could be ice. And the timing is
it's
what
also the timing and the duration.
We still have time for that.
Right. Yeah.
Right. If we get a foot of snow in 5 hours. That's not so bad, really.
Right, compared to some of the last.
If we get a foot of snow over a 48 or 72-hour period, right? It's all of those factors. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we've had, although we've had a milder winter, I think the number of storm events that we've had have been significant enough that we're not realizing a significant savings there.
Yeah. There's a lot of product out there.
Wait a second. You said you're not realizing
significant savings.
That's what's of the weather. My question was not whether or not you were actually going to achieve significant savings. I did not believe there would be any there. What I was wondering is how much of a margin we have left at this point. Look like we're going to come in on budget or slightly under budget here?
Yes.
On that?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jim. You can.
So, yes, I believe we will. And some of that, you know, we have a little wiggle room as a result of a retirement of a highway supervisor. That's going to give us a little wiggle room because the person who replaces him probably won't be here the day that he leaves. And we know that it'll be at a percentage of the current rate based on contract. So we'll have a little bit of wiggle room that we hadn't frankly anticipated. So it gives us, I don't think we're gonna be transferring money from any other budget into the highway budget just to make it through this fiscal year.
Well, congratulations, good move. It helped.
Yes.
I do just a broad comment about the capital budget that kind of came out when we talked about the capital budget in the first place is spreading costs out over longer periods of time. I do think we need to make a deliberate effort when we purchase something that we know is going to need to be replaced in the future, that we, like, if it's a vehicle or whatever that needs to be replaced in 20 years, we should be taking the value of that vehicle, dividing it by 20 years and spreading that expense out so that when that 20 year time is up, we have the money on hand to purchase something. Like that's, I don't know, that's how I've always done budgeting, right? Like with when you have operating expenses, right? You put money in a reserve so that it's there to cover your capital expenses when you have them in the future. And I think there's a lot of items on here that we know are going to be need to be replaced in the future. And instead of planning for that over the long haul in these tiny little increments that yes, add up, but then at least it's there. That way we don't have to make a big decision in the end to cut a massive project that's really needed. That's a full 25,000 or 30,000 or 40,000. I just think like we should keep that in the back of our mind when it comes to the capital planning.
So in the past, we've had those goals, and we've had those numbers in the line items, and Bob Monroe will probably say that, yep, and that's one of the first things that get cut when we have to make cuts in trying to maintain other programs. That's the type of thing that goes because we'll have to find the line next year.
Right.
But your larger items are done that way. Your plow trucks and all that are a partial 1 year, partial in anticipation of purchasing. Maybe not in the small pockets that you're talking about, but otherwise you can never make it work.
Right. I did see some of that. I feel like it should be like
it's just that we don't read upon approach. Have to change big equipment that often.
Right.
We get 20 years.
And we had
State of Connecticut gets 10.
And we had more of it in the budget.
Yes.
But we had to cut that out.
And that was part of my concern, right? Like I felt like there was this commitment to this approach. You're eventually going to have to pay the buck, right? Like it's going to come to fruition eventually. And so like, I feel like you're either committed to an idea of doing it that way or you're kind of not, but yeah. I mean, I get that stuff has to be
the first budget the second, the third, the fourth, the commitment,
but they're going to be paying for it eventually, right? Like that's just what it boils down to.
I just want to make an observation about this. Because this will tie into when we actually have our discussions, what are we going to present to the town? I hear very much from Kristen Hecht that if we cut this, bad things are going to happen. I hear from Jim that if we cut this, there's some bad things that are going to happen. And then we as a board say, okay, yes, we're fully behind you. And then we go to the referendum, it comes back no. And we go and cut it anyway. So I'm just putting that out there as an observation. I'm not saying what we should do or what we shouldn't. I'm just putting it out there for us to think about. And you know, how much are we committed to what the Board of Education says and what Jim says, and how much are we just going to play the game that we know that they're going to 500 people are going to come out and say no. And for the first few times, we're only going to get 400 who say yes. And then finally you get some more. So I'm just saying, do we keep playing the game? And I'm not telling what to do. I'm just throwing it out there to provoke some thought and discussion, and we don't have to resolve it tonight. So I'm just throwing that out there because otherwise we just keep playing the same game and we have the same thing happen. So I'm just throwing it out there.
There are two other pieces in the revolving budget game, and that is we don't know how much money the state is going to
correct.
Use. We don't know how much our surplus is going to be. We know from past history that we get about 99.9% of our taxes coming in. So that part feels a little stable. We know it's about 1.34. So we're looking forward to the that piece of the stability, but the other pieces are sort of important.
Mm-hmm.
We can try our best to share as much information as we have in the city for the town, right, Bob? And we're going to start with a 10% budget. We knew that. I mean, we worked really hard to come down to a 5.31 in a year with inflation that's been so high.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying there's several parties to the way making things keep happening the way they do. One is our voters and who comes out to vote. One is, you know, another is the Board of Education, the Board of Selectmen with the budgets they present. And then the other piece is us as Board of Finance. And how do we, you know, finesse all of this stuff? Because we're all contributing to the same old, and hoping it'll be different. So I don't think we need to resolve it tonight, but I want us to really think about it because we really haven't had, you know, that conversation in the past, at least when I've been, you know, here. And then I will throw out just a couple more things if I could, just for thought on things. My church, two things I heard. I heard it here at the earlier meeting when we were meeting with our state representatives, which was, it's very expensive to live in this town. The taxes go up. I'm on a fixed income. And then the other place I heard that was we had a corned beef dinner at my church over there, Bolton Congregational, on Saturday. And I got cornered by a bunch of my constituents who said the same thing about being on, you know, fixed incomes. And I'll tell you my own little experience. I retired a couple of years ago. My severance package with Cigna ended. And last year, my income was one quarter of what I had made. I'm not in any danger because I have savings, but I, you know, I'm just taking out a bank account. So I'm personally not struggling, but my income was low enough to qualify me if I had made $300 less for $150 back on my $4,300 property tax. And that property tax is 10% of what I, you know, if you just look at my income, you know, I don't really care. You know, it's like I made about $40,000, but I have other resources. There's other people that only have that and they're house rich and income poor. Mm-hmm. And I do not hear that discussion among us here. And I do not hear it from, you know, Board of Education. I don't really hear it clearly from the Board of Selectmen either. And it is something that comes up. So that's another part of how do we balance this? What are we doing to help those people who, you know, they need these services, but they just can't afford to pay that because it's not like your house is a bank. You're taking that money out of your daily living expenses. So I'm just going to, again, throw that out there, because I hear that very clearly from my own constituents. And like I said, it was an eye opener for me when I look at, gee, what am I qualifying for now based on my income? And I've got other things to cover me. And I'm thinking of the people who don't. Mm-hmm. So I don't have an answer, but I just want to make sure that it gets on the record and that we do think of that. And we do have an answer because we're going to be at the senior center. What, this week? I think Thursday, no?
Is it next week?
Or is it next week? Oh, okay, good. I just want to make sure I'm at that meeting and don't miss it. But no, but I'm just saying, again, I'm putting it out there because, again, I think it's a conversation we need to have and just let our constituents know that this is what, you know, that we actually recognize that there's a challenge with this and that we're doing balancing a lot of different things because this is a family and the people who we know, all the people whose pockets we're taking out of the money to give to other people that we know to provide the services. So I'm just putting it out there again.
I can help answer that question.
Don't have the answer.
I don't really have the entire answer, but I can help.
That would help.
Shed some light, right? So one of the things I got a report this week by mail from the Access Agency, who was an agency that helps Bolton residents. And, mm-hmm. and according to their report, they provided about $87,000 in services to Bolton residents this year. And the Board of Selectmen typically at the end of the year look to see if they have a little bit of money to contribute to the Access Agency. But the Access Agency is also funded through state and federal grant programs.
Yeah.
Okay. But the other thing that the Board of Selectmen did last year, and I expect that they will probably do again this year, because Jill and I will make a recommendation to the Board of Selectmen at some point to move additional funds into an account that is managed by the Senior and Social Services Director, that we help people who are in financial need. Last year, the Board of Selectmen allocated additional funding, and we also run a food pantry out of the Senior Center, which is really largely taken care of by generous donations from those who might be a little more fortunate in town. So those are some of the things that we do on an everyday basis to help people in the town of Bolton who might have some additional need. And I will tell you, some of the funds that have been set aside have been used to help people tie into the sewer system. to make much needed repairs to their home if their boiler was broken and they needed heat or they needed fuel assistance. And so those funds are there, and the town is usually pretty generous helping. They've been used to help people with pay medical bills that they don't have the funds for. So that account is there, and it's one of the ways that taxpayer dollars directly go to benefit those who might be less fortunate here in the town.
Is there a way to call that out in what we're putting here in the budget?
I think that's something that needs to be drawn attention to. I think that's something that needs to be explained, and it's going to be simply because if we had no increase in the budget, those people are still going to be needing assistance.
Right.
So there's nothing you can do about that. The question is, do you in fact want to continue the level of life that we have in Bolton, or do we want to start countering that as well for everyone, rather than perhaps taking our budget?
It is a specific line item in the senior and social services.
But it was cut, Jim. It was cut this year, so there's nothing going into that fund at this point in time.
Yeah,
other
but there
than
will.
Donations.
We know there will.
And we look at.
So is it funded then from various receipts the town gets, or is it dependent upon volunteers contributing? Because I just heard that we weren't funding it. I heard. So what's
at
the
this
scoop?
Point in time? We don't have anything going into there specifically, but and it is donations. The town last year didn't have anything specific going in. Saw that we were going to have a surplus and put $10,000 into there out of surplus that they felt that we knew we were going to have. But at this point in time, there's nothing specific targeted to go into there.
We also haven't discussed it yet either.
There'll be a recommendation going forward to the Board of Selectmen to put funding in it. Well, not in the budget, but out of this year's budget.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's very important. And if I'm sure people are listening to what I said, if they're not here, somebody's going to hear what I said. And then they're going to hear that, yes, we agree, but we didn't put any money in it. So again, that makes this a difficult selling point to people who are hurting, or, you know, even the ones who just say they are and they might not be, they just vote no all the time. But this is one of the things I hear from them, that we're not taking care of the people who need to be taken care of and helped. So I can't stress that I think this is really important that we come up with an answer to that question, because it's what helps sink the budget.
But, you know, Ross, wouldn't you agree, and again, I'll throw this out to the board, you know, we're looking at budget, so we're, you know, clearly looking at expenses. However, some of these expenses have a direct impact on our revenue, and we don't talk about that other side of the balance sheet enough. And I think, again, that line of item of $100,000 for capital budget is speaking to that. And if we're not looking at some of these areas where we're going to get a return on investment, we're going to keep being in this situation, and those same people are going to continue to get hurt. And those line items, you know, such as a surplus, is not going to be available. And I think we need to really take a close look at our messaging and the direction of where the argument's coming from, because it's not just an expense problem, it is a revenue problem. And
it's
both. Exactly.
That's why
but
I say this whole thing is
on the expenses. And mm-hmm. I get it. Like I've been broke and I don't like it. So it's not that I don't understand, I don't sympathize, but I do want a solution to the problem. And I see some of these areas where, you know, and especially in this budget, like we're going to be cutting into meat at this point mm-hmm. on both sides.
That we did include in the budget this year was the revenues that we received from share services such as building and land use. We did include the revenue that we receive when we go out to the three other towns that we have a contract with for inspections. We also included in that the budget information, the revenue we received for the assessor, the half of the revenue. So we're trying to show that we are getting revenue in exchange for some of these extra costs that are the town are, you know, that we're going out and saying, yes, there's an increase, but there's also revenue and we're trying to show that. So if you look at the assessor's budget page and the building and land use page, you're going to see that we put information out there.
Okay.
And again, thank you, Chris, you know, for your comments. And again, I appreciate everybody to, you know, comment on this too and think about it. Because again, I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm poking and just trying to get the discussion going, you know, on this. I don't have a particular outcome I want to see other than that we are comfortable in what we're doing and we can explain it very clearly, you know, both for Board of Education and Board of Selectmen to the people who I know will be asking those questions or complaining about these same things. So I just get tired of playing the same game, you know, every year.
Might I add that I'm 74 years old. And since I've been aware of what taxes are and budgets are, which has been a good portion of that time, there's always a huge amount of people and publicity garnered by people who say, I can't afford the increase. You're never going to get away. You're never going to do away with that. It's always going to be here. And the fact of the matter is that there's always insatiable demand and there's minimal resources. That's why we have to reduce budget requests.
But we have such fixed costs that we can't control.
Right.
We have the highest energy costs in the country.
I mean, there's a
health insurance
boondoggle for you.
Health insurance that we can't control. We can't control health insurance that is jumps annually that takes away from so many other programs.
Yeah.
But it's important for the people that give us this invaluable service that we call town government and schools.
Yeah. And again, you know, that also comes down to our town employees need nice, clean, safe places to work, you know, and we don't really provide that for the office workers in many cases too. So again, I'm just putting this out there as these are all things to balance and talk about. And I tend to be socially liberal, but fiscally conservative. And I'm very, you know, like when I was just thinking, Amanda, when you were talking about budgeting for things, that's how I pay for my cars in advance. Every year I figure out, I got to put this much in because I'm expecting it to be about this much when I buy it. And I'd rather pay myself the money than to pay it back.
That's how I budget for my oil.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, so I'm fiscally conservative. I get that. And I'm not talking about spend. I would like to make sure that we're efficient about things, but I just want to make sure we have these conversations and we understand what our messaging is and, you know, what our response is when, you know, to the questions we get or the votes that come in on the budget. I just want to make sure we start talking about it now. Again, we don't have to finish it tonight, but it's sort of like I asked Jill to keep on the agenda, you know, make sure we're doing outreach, talking about the budget, that we also be thinking about this each time. So it's not just, oh, we like the numbers that each of the, you know, primary boards gave us, and then we play the game again. We may have to, but I would just like to see if we could do something a little bit, you know, different for a change. It may work, it might not. Just putting it out there.
May I?
Boss,
I'm very much in agreement with your main point. And I, Chris and I do believe what you said. Messaging is so important. But I'll tell you, we all have our contacts. You call them constituents. Can't tell you how many people have said to me, I don't care what you say about the answer is no. When a referendum comes up, I'm going to know.
Yep.
I'm hearing that from people that can afford it.
Yeah, and I get that too. But who can afford their fair share.
Because that's what guys do.
But that's the way it is.
Just to have it.
You know? So even though your point about what we should do for people who have real needs is great, I think it's good. Important to tell. That's not what the main point they're often talking about. The main point is that regular people, even people like me, I'm almost 80, very soon I'll be 80. And my income is very like yours. You know, we haven't taken a vacation in years. Why? Because vacations are one of the things that are a good cut. Now, is that because I pay humongous taxes to the town? No, it's just normal cost of living.
Yeah.
My cable bill, my electric bill, everything else. I'm just a regular person. But my wife and I almost had 9 minutes coming home from my apartment. We were going through heap down old metal buildings. Tremendous source of taxes to the town of Bassenburg. Tremendous. All through there. Apartment buildings, medical buildings, all kinds of things. We don't have that ability. And I can tell you, like you already know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we don't have it either. Why? Because we don't have water, we don't have gas, we have bad soils. What are we so bad?
Mm-hmm.
So, Ross, your points were very well taken.
Thank you, sir. And again, you know, I'm thanking you for agreeing, and also thanking folks who disagree. So just to make that clear, I want to have the conversation, and I'm glad you're participating, it just as, you know, Kristen is.
I also want to say one more thing. I don't listen to or read. I'm not on Facebook, but my wife is. And she told me all the negative stuff that people in Bolton are saying about living here. How about how we need more teachers? We're short here, we're short there. Well, I said, baloney. The ratio of teachers to the students is what, 1 to 12? I think it's very good. So she started telling me the things that she really not paid for. It's not good. No, we talk about transparency. What about all the good things? She said, why isn't somebody saying good things about?
That's human nature and Twitter and
that's what I was saying.
And the echo chamber. There's that to deal with too and separate out. So it's a good point too.
It doesn't stop.
You mean the internet sewer line?
We've always had that sewer line. It just gets to be faster now.
Yeah. I try to put it under our sewer authority, but
so anyway, to get back onto the agenda, do we have any other questions, you know, for Jim Rupert and the town? And again, we'll just keep this, you know, discussion going on this so we don't hog the evening with it.
You know, can I just say, but one of the things that the board we're selecting done, I'm assuming the Board of Education as well, as the process goes on, we are constantly reviewing our budget process to see where you know where things are, where can we look at surpluses that are coming down. So at least you have a better idea of what sort of revenue you have coming in to make these hard decisions. That's always been that play. And unfortunately, that real number doesn't get really close till towards the end. And we just don't know. I mean, we're asked a guest, ask Bob, how many million times you've been asked, well, what do you think it's going to be? What do you think it's going to be? Well, not quite sure yet, right? And Jim, maybe in 30 days, Jim can have a real good answer for you. Right now, it's kind of like...
Yeah, this is the first pass in the first beginning of the discussion.
Right.
At this level.
Yes.
And with a little luck, it'll be good. And if the, you know, I'm not even going to talk about what the state legislation is. They're the crust of our problems.
So, you know, we
she escaped the problem, Bob. She's no longer part of
it. I like to introduce myself. I'm an escapee. But, you know, we've worked for months on this budget to get it this far and knowing still that it's early in the process. And we can only do the best we can with the information you have, and we look at what needs you think you have. Did we raise the rates over in enough part? How do we do this to make some of our budgets, if we can, make them self-sustaining?
mean, there are little pieces that you don't see in this that we work at trying to do thorough management. And Jim has an eagle eye on this stuff. Jill has an eagle eye on this stuff. And it's very impressive.
Yep. So again,
one last comment, if I may.
Oh,
and that's for Jim. He actually, in the budget process, did zero budgeting.
He did zero budgeting. It's like I've never seen anybody do so little in my life. It was amazing.
Unlike the state of Connecticut, zero budget to them means, here's where I was last year. That's my zero point. We go from there. He says, no, what did we spend? Let's look back 3 years. Let's look back 4 years. Let's see what the record show. And that was the basis to start with and go forward. And I just want to make you guys aware of that's what happened.
Yep.
And that's where this process came
from.
You know, for the, those of you that are new at this, you know, there was a time 20 years ago and 25 years ago, when there were farms that and farmlands and fields and stuff that went into new housing. And we had grand list increases because we had houses being built. And as you know now, we're not in that position. We've gone and worked very hard at doing land management through open space preservation and other issues, farmland preservation. And we just don't have that building boom that Charlie's nodding and said it in past years gave you a different grand list, which changes your budget beginnings as well as the conclusion when the state comes in and investment demands their options, which the problem haven't changed in 20 years.
Just to supplement what you were saying, it was that Jim brought up the last meeting as well. You know, the amount of land available to build out of this town is
not big.
Less than minimum. And if there's one thing I could say about that is that we really don't need to put any more land under the land trust. They have right now under their control, last I knew, about 20% of the land in this town. What we do need is a planning and zoning board as well that is going to provide some help to people as they're looking to develop properties that are going to be harder to develop in this town instead of making each project so costly, which has been their history. And I could speak to it very well. That's what we need because we don't have the land to build on. There's very little left. So what we do have left can't go to the land trust anymore. It sounds great, but it's hurting the town.
So
but it was a big state push to get 21% of the state land put into open space. And they did not include golf courses. It would not include cemeteries. There's a lot of discussions about that.
So, that's why we have an affordable housing problem in the state.
So let me make an observation. It's about 8:45 and 15 minutes of this time is my fault. So I want to get us back on track so we can get out of here. And I think it's a good discussion. I want to thank everybody for participating. And the other thing I want to thank you is for just agreeing nicely. Because, you know, I get the feeling like, no, we can say things that we, you know, disagree and I didn't see anybody really ready to go and nail somebody in the parking lot. So again, I want to thank you for, you know, civil discourse about stuff that's really hard. So again, I want to thank everybody, you know, for that as well. So any other thing, you know, specifically about this budget, otherwise we can go on to the budget calendar because we've got plenty of other time to talk about this stuff.
A question about SEEP and the community septic project that does include the farm. Is that going to help be on its way to hopefully help self-sustain itself? If I remember correctly, that was
the septic system that's there that can tie in.
And it's getting bigger.
Well, the system designed to add what we have here and exist in new buildings.
Yeah.
So it could add the bathrooms from the farm.
It should be able to handle the farm.
That's yeah. what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, we'll see about this in the run.
Okay. Budget calendar. Budget calendar.
Are we going through the rest of this? Or, like step by step or no?
No.
So if we have questions, we
should ask. Take a look.
I mean, there's no changes to the calendar. That's just in there in case anybody wants yep. to talk about it at this point. But there are some, Ashley did give me some things or a PowerPoint for the communication.
Yep, so just started to pull together some thoughts I can layer on. I took some notes, I had about five other key items to add. So
I can bring that up, Ashley, if you'd like. Do you want me to bring up the PowerPoint?
Or do we want to do that?
It's late. Why don't we do it at the next meeting?
Okay, that's fine.
But you can email it out, right? So we can look at
Actually,
it in advance. We just can't respond to the email.
No, Jill.
No, Ashley, I will. I will do it.
Jill will do it, which is the safe way to do it. Jill will send it out. Then we can.
Thank you, Jill.
And if you have any individual comments, direct them back to Jill or wait and we'll talk about it at a meeting the next time.
And no pride in authorship. And I know I'm probably getting myself in trouble with some of it. So not, some of it's not permissible. Just
no, it's all for discussion purposes. There's no there's no problem. This is you know, it's all for discussion purposes and there's you're not gonna get in trouble for anything.
Okay. So quick question about budget calendar. There a special meeting necessary for March 23rd. I'm not hearing that. Because that's like this Thursday.
Ross, did you say you're not here?
I'm not here. No, I'm not hearing that there's a that special meeting is necessary on Thursday. Is that a correct statement? I'm just asking.
I don't know what we would accomplish. I mean,
you have to start talking about the budget.
Right. Yeah.
I was wondering that.
We have to set our final decision. Talk about revenue.
Is it better to upfront it and then cancel ones at the back end if you don't need them versus?
I would
start
agree
later.
With Ashley.
Start later.
Yeah, no, I don't think we want to procrastinate.
So thoughts, meet Thursday, keep start the discussion because we have to have a specific agenda for a special meeting.
Is there a way, Jill, that you could be able to pull together some of the information in regards to the revenue that we would be able to consider?
Yes, I already have it all in place.
Okay, so we have to have our final budget decided on by 4/21. Am I understanding that correctly?
No, you have to have a budget to go to the public hearing at that point. Your absolute final budget has to be done by May 10th. That's the last you have to have a budget by May 10th or it reverts back to the budget for the year we're in right now. So you're just going to create a budget for the public hearing.
Yeah. And Jill already did send out an invitation for the special meeting on Thursday, I believe.
No, I did not. I'm trying to do, I will do it tonight after this meeting. I don't want to get it confused in case for the people that are logging in on the, on computers, it becomes very confusing. I will do it tonight.
Okay, so then we will have the special meeting on Thursday, March 23rd, which is 2 days from now, and that will be at 7:15, I presume?
Yes.
Can I ask an expense question before we address like a specific? So on the assessor's budget, I saw that we went up like $30,000 from this year, or a little less than that, from what was appropriated this year to what is requested for next year. But we have the shared assessor in place already. So I'm wondering why there's an increase in that salary line, payroll line item.
First of all, we didn't have the assessor at the beginning of the year, but okay, so we also had her budgeted for a little lower rate than we actually brought her in at.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I think the other piece of that was that the former assessor received most of her training through another resource. And now that this assessor is working for us half-time in Wilmington we have to pay half of those costs for her professional organizations and annual training requirements.
Yep.
So that would be the other piece of it.
Is that an ever?
I have a, I did think the whole thing, but I think so.
Don't rush, Amanda. If you have questions, it needs to be answered.
Oh, I was also wondering why tree trimming went down from last year to this year.
Because we've done a robust job.
Okay.
And we actually have Eversource taking care of quite a bit of work this year. So we were able to reduce the tree trimming budget for next year. We're really ahead of game, but the biggest issue we faced is with the Emerald Ash Borer and the dead trees along the sides of the roads. But, you know, and we do, believe it or not, we actually do what's called a tree survey, where we literally drive every inch of every road and we survey trees that are problematic on public property. We list them. And so based on all the tree survey and the robust we've done in the last couple of years, as well as getting Eversource to take care of a bunch of stuff, we felt that we were able to reduce that.
Okay, that's good. I just wanted to make sure that there was no, like, we were going to be in trouble with services provided. And then for the library, the Board of Selectmen cut $4,000 out of equipment. I missed that meeting where that happened. So were we able to?
So she put $4,000 in that budget to purchase computers. Computers are purchased out of the administration budget.
Oh, so it just ended up there.
So okay. Right. So it was removed from the library.
Move from one to the other. Yep.
And then you mentioned tipping fees earlier for refuse. What the heck is a tipping
fee? We pay a company to go to. So there's two types of tipping fees. One is you see the Ilio, the guy who runs around and picks up your trash. Everybody loves it, right?
Yeah.
Great customer service.
Yeah.
After Ilio's truck is full, he goes to Willy Wastes.
Yeah.
And we pay by the ton to dispose of the trash and recycle it. Recycling gets a lot more convoluted because recycling is also a commodity, and based on the commodities market, we might get a little bit of money for some of the recycling.
Mm-hmm.
But the tipping fee is the fee that we pay per ton for the disposal of that waste to Willy Waste, which is now Casella. We also have tipping fees with regard to our bulky waste. USA Hauling, which is a division of All American Waste, who picks up our curbside trash, has a division of their company that picks up the dumpsters at the transfer station and also hauls those to Casella, and we pay tipping fees based on the tonnage.
So it's just an expense. Yeah. It's not like we're tipping.
No, I think it's I think
it's like, why do they call that?
It's a dump truck. And it's a dump truck, and they go in, they tip up like that, and you dump the waste out.
It's rubbish 101.
That's why it's all
increase is due to the sale of Willy Waste was sold to another.
Right.
So,
okay.
Trash is way more complicated than one.
Right? It's insane.
It is so complicated.
And Willy Waste used to be so onomatopoetic, and now we have a new name for it.
And were we impacted by that place in Hartford shutting down at all, or did that cause issues for us?
Well, everybody's been impacted. Okay. Even if you weren't directly hauling trash to Mira, it drove the cost up, you know, regionally. So we've all been impacted significantly.
Which I think we may want to draw attention to.
And it's going
to
have a lot more.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, that was it.
All right.
You could also mention that if you want your mill rate to go down, because, you know, last year they were saying they weren't going to vote yes until it reached 40. You know, we had to get lower it to 40. And I actually, someone was saying to me this year that they want to see it at 36. And I said, don't worry about it. Wait 1 year, we'll have a reevaluation, and then the mill rate will drop to 36, and you'll be happy.
So
Axis spoke about it.
So on that note, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Move second.
Okay, so for Ashley's benefit, that was Kristen who made the motion and Charlie who seconded it. And we are adjourned.
Good night.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
See you in a couple of days.
I wanted to say.